We're in Philippians chapter 4 for the last time this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. Some of you thought we'd never get here, but here we are. Verse number 20 down through verse number 23. And I would say I'm happy and sad to conclude our study of Philippians today. I'm happy because we've completed it and it's done. And I'm sad because I've enjoyed my study in the book of Philippians. These guys that I read their books on as I study this, I feel like I get to know them, you know. And it's like I'm going to lose some friends in the next couple of weeks. I've got about 6 books that I use from the majority of my study, and I won't get to talk to these guys like I do on a regular basis. But that's all right. Has anybody been here for all of Philippians? You've been here for all of the sermons? One person? 2 people? Okay, that's great. I think I've been here for all of them. I'm pretty sure I have. Maybe not, but I think I have. I will say I have learned from our study in Philippians. It's been good. I learned how to spell Philippians. I evidently had been spelling it wrong all my life. How many of you realized you're spelling it wrong? 1 L, 2 P's. 1 L, 2 P's. I use 2 L's. I just like to use 2 L's. But 1 L, 2 P's. I've also learned to pronounce some new words, some because I had to say them to you guys, so I worked really hard to try to pronounce them. If you ever came over and caught me, I had a little tool in my computer there that would say the words to me, and then I would say it back to the computer to try to pronounce them right for you guys. Some because I was preaching all about these words and pronounced them all wrong, and some of you helped me. You said, you know, I don't know why you pronounce it that way, but I've always pronounced it this way. Said, you know what, that's how I've always heard it pronounced too, and I was saying it wrong all day long. I wish you'd have raised your hand and stopped me in the middle of the sermon before I made a fool of myself. But most of all, I've learned through the book of Philippians that my joy remains the same no matter what. Boy, that's been a blessing to me. So let's read together. These are Paul's concluding thoughts, chapter 4, verse number 20. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's God's word that we heard there this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the time that we have. Lord, as we've spent this year just studying the book of Philippians, I hope that it's been as filling for others as it's been for me. Lord, you've blessed us so much by being able to hold your words in your hands, giving us the opportunity to study your word, given us men who've studied and given of them their time and their efforts to give us good commentary and understanding of your word. Now, Lord, as we finish off these concluding thoughts here this morning, pray that your will be done, that we'll be further conformed to the image of Christ. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask all of this. Amen. All right, so in Paul's concluding thoughts here this morning, we read some very practical things. We also read some very theological things. So, the problem with that in outlining is it's going to go from very theological to very practical to very theological, and it's going to feel funny, all right? So that's just how it goes. It's kind of like when the dentist has you in the chair there, and they say, this is going to feel a slight pinch, and they really jab you good with that needle, and you're like, ah! And right at that same time, they're saying, so what'd you do this weekend? And you're thinking, ah, you know, I want to kill you. And that's kind of how this might feel a little bit there here this morning. But each of these, we've kind of been using it as our theme as we've gone through these last few verses through this month, is we're going to find reasons to be thankful. And you can do that all through the Bible, but we're especially going to notice those here today. So let's notice those together. Beginning in verse number 20, as we see a term that is a hard term and an easy term, glory. Paul says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we all understand glory. Most of you know what it is. You could use the word glory in a sentence. But if I were to say to you, define glory for me, it gets a little harder at that point. As you begin to try to think of words to describe this word that you're so familiar with, it gets a little more difficult. And there are other words like that in the English language. But verse 20 and verses like it are where we derive the practice of a term that we call our doxology. We all sang that earlier this morning and before we took our offering up. We offer praise to God through prayers and song as we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Here Paul offers prayer by giving God glory, and he says forever. He writes of glory in a sense that God's glory expresses God's character. Boyce says it this way. He says God's glory is the outward expression of what God is internally. Now, that's a great definition, and in that, we should change our understanding of glory. And we're bad to say, and I just did, by the way, we're going to give glory to God. If it's outward expression of who God is internally, can we actually give it to Him? Not at all. Glory is just what He is. John MacArthur says of God's glory, he said, you know, we're all aware of the sun in the sky. We can see it. We know that it's there. We trust that it's going to rise every morning, you know, and that's a great analogy of how our God operates as well. But he said, God's glory, glory to God is as the warmth is to the sun. You know, and I thought that's a wonderful way to say it as well. Something that's very hard to define, but we understand what it is. In this, as we think of God's glory, we realize that God will continue to supply the need of the Christian out of His inexhaustible might, wisdom, love, holiness, and truth. And with this in mind, Paul here speaks of glory in praise. He says he's really looking forward to the day when God shall be praised and honored as He should and must be forever. Now Paul says now. He says now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. And we know that God will be given glory forever as we all stand before Him and worship Him for an eternity. But Paul says now. And I think that's very important that you and I understand that God's glory is not something that starts later on in life, that we're not participating in it now. God is timeless. He always has been. He always will be. Thus, God's glory is timeless. And you and I bring glory before Him just in our existence, but especially through our worship. The next thing we get to here this morning is a greeting. Verse 21 and verse number 22. Paul says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, when we think of salute, what do you think of? Somebody show me. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, some a little different there, but for the most part we think of this, but you could also think of this and whatever else some of you just threw up at me. Some of you, I can't do what you just did, okay? Now, I could turn that around on you and say, now, what were y'all thinking about? That's not what I was meaning. But Paul talks about a greeting here. He says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. I don't think Paul means a hand gesture here. The reason that we can conclude that's because how is he communicating with them? By writing. I think he means I'm sending you a greeting. I believe that's the idea here. So I want to talk to you about greeting here. He moves from the glory of God, which is the theological concept, to those who would actually give God glory. He offers greetings. And he demands the same from those he would offer those greetings to. Now, that's a practical concept that he includes here in his concluding remarks. Now, notice with me who Paul thinks of as he talks about greetings. First, he talks about the Christians at Philippi. He's writing to them and refers to them when he says, greet or salute every saint. Those are the ones he's writing to. The letter's going to come to them. They're going to read it. And we understand that's the ones. But it should also be understood as him telling them to do likewise. I'm greeting you. You greet every saint as well. You all do that as we come in here and go to church. Most of you spend some time. You walk around and you say hello to everybody. You greet every saint. And I think that's important for us to do. Second, we see a greeting from those who are with Paul. So Paul's in Rome. I almost turned that around into a form of a question. By now you should know that. But I won't put you on the spot this last time in Philippians, right? But he's in Rome, there in Philippi, and he is writing with those who are there with him, and he sends greeting on behalf of those standing next to him. Now, in my mind, I go to the Andy Griffith Show there, and, you know, you've got Paul at a jail in Rome, and he's got Timothy most likely there with him. We know Epaphroditus was there because Epaphroditus delivered the letter, and there are probably a couple others there with him. In my mind, I go to Andy Griffith writing a letter, and he's got Barney on one side and Goober on the other side. And Goober's saying there, or Gomer, it's Gomer. Gomer says, tell him Gomer says, hey, you know, if Paul's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, and I'm sure Gomer's saying, tell him in there, Gomer says, hey. But that's not quite as silly as that. But that is kind of the idea that we get here is Paul says, those that are with me greet you also. Timothy's here. He says, hello. Epaphroditus is here. He says hello. Of course, Epaphroditus ended up delivering the letter, and he could say hello in person. But Paul calls them the brothers who were with me. So he greets the church of Philippi. He sends a greeting from those who are with him. Third, he speaks of the believers in Rome. He refers to them with "all the saints greet you." So he's there in Rome. There are Christians there in Rome with him. And he says, hey, all of those here, they greet you too. And he even throws in these that he says, along with those of Caesar's household. Now that's an interesting inclusion there. This would be a special body of Christians who were employed by the various services related to the imperial court there. We know this is the time of the Roman Empire, and there would have no doubt been Christians who worked in that scenario there. But when I don't ever think of it that way. When I think of Caesar evil and Christians good, right? And everybody that has anything to do with Caesar evil and Christians good. You know, there's a good application for us there. A lot of times we make those same generalizations in today's world. Everything in this world that we see as evil, we see anybody who has anything to do with it at all as evil. Some of the most effective people in the Bible, God had them working inside of corrupt governments, inside of corrupt empires and things like this. Where did Daniel do most of his work? Babylon. Captivity in Babylon. Under wickedness. Just absolute wickedness. But here's Daniel doing good work. Have you read the book of Esther? What's the man's name in Esther? Her uncle. What's his name? I can't remember his name. Right. Mordecai played a great role. Esther played a wonderful role. But Mordecai especially played an amazing role as a leader within sort of a non-God-fearing government. At least it wasn't at that time, but it became one. So don't always throw everybody under the bus who are in these scenarios. And Paul kind of alludes to that here. He says, all those who are with me in Rome, they greet you, even those who are in Caesar's household. Now, we know that some in Rome had been very critical of Paul. We read that early on, and how some, you know, it kind of went from this whole idea of, you know, oh, Paul's coming to be here. Of course, he's in jail, but at least he's going to be here, to, oh, Paul's still in jail? That guy, he's got to get his act together. If he's going to be a missionary for the church, we can't have him sitting around in a jail cell all the time. You know, that's kind of how they changed over. Paul alluded to that earlier in the book of Philippians here. Some had been very critical of him. But knowing that they would one day join him in heaven, Paul acknowledges them here. Well, there's an application for us there, isn't it? You may not like everybody upon the face of the earth, especially not everybody who calls themselves Christians. But someday we're all going to go to heaven together. I was joking with someone just this week about that very thought, that many people, you know, people have very strict points of view on who they think is going to be in heaven and who they think is not going to be in heaven. Can you imagine people just getting up to heaven, you know, and saying, "Oh, Jesus, I didn't know they were going to be here. Kind of ruined it for me." And of course, it won't be that way, you know. Of course, the benefit of us being able to have a personal relationship with Christ is it's almost as if, like, in my mind, a lot of times I'm just like, me and Jesus walking around heaven together, you know, as if me and him will be the only ones there. Maybe it'll be that way. I don't know. He is omnipresent, so maybe it'll work out that way for me anyway. But Paul knew that they would one day join him in heaven, and though they had been critical of him, he still acknowledges them here at the end of his writing. I would ask you this morning, do you think this way of other Christians? There are those you disagree with, some that may be critical of you, some who you would say in a very nice way, they've experienced very little sanctification. They got a long way to go in the Christian life. But we know that God is going to use them. God is going to work in their life to acknowledge His glory. They, like you, are going to be in heaven. So it's important that we think of them in terms of their destiny instead of their objectionable characteristics or their conduct. That's very practical wisdom that Paul gives us here as he acknowledges even those who had been critical of him. But what is the basic idea here? What is the thing that you and I can take away from these couple of verses here and take into practice in our lives? Well, send greetings. Right? Paul sent greetings. You and I should send greetings. What is the official title for Christmas, birthday, anniversary, Valentine's Day, and the rest cards? What do we call those? Greeting cards. Y'all didn't know greeting cards were biblical, did you? And for 1995, today only. No, I'm just kidding. But send greetings. I mean, I know that Paul is not directly saying here, send greetings. But Paul himself, if we are to model ourselves after our examples in the Bible, Paul himself, in the midst of writing what formed the church, these letters to these churches that formed who we all are and why we operate this way, that made it into the canon of the Almighty Word of God, if there in that Paul took time to say, I'm greeting you and I'm greeting you and I send greetings to you and I send greetings, we should see it as an important practice among Christians nowadays. I'm a big fan of notes and cards. I don't know if any of you in here have never gotten a note, a card from me. Has anybody in here never gotten a note? Because I owe you one if you have not. You tell me after church if you've never gotten some kind of mail from me. I figure you get bills, you get letters from doctors, you get stuff you just don't want to see in the mail. But why not get something from somebody you like? You know, or hope you like me. You're going to like me if I send you enough cards, right? But send greetings. You can have a large impact just by thinking of other Christians and sending them a note. Do you know what it must mean to somebody, especially somebody that you don't even know all that well, somebody who wouldn't be expecting it, do you know what it must mean to them for you to send a note and say, hey, I was thinking of you, I'm praying for you, I hope you're doing all right, have a great week, and sign your name, and spend, how much is a stamp? 49. Oh my goodness. Maybe hand it off to them. I don't know if it's worth 50 cents. Spend 49 cents. Why don't they just make the stamps a dollar? They're in debt. They can't afford to pay the mail carrier. Just, I'll pay a dollar for stamps, right? It's just a dollar. I mean, just bump the price. It needs to be that way. If they're listening, if the NSA is listening in this morning, let's bump up the price of the stamps. Let's take a vote. Absolutely. Let's go back to the positive. I got us off the negative. Send greetings to people. Let them know you're thinking of it. It makes a world of difference. Think of the practical use of greeting the saints like Paul. You, by sending greetings, and you may not be a card person. You may not be a letter person. You might be a text message person. Now, I laid in the text messages pretty hard on Wednesday night. That's all right. If you text, you text. That's what you do. That's what you need to do. It might just be that you send a note by a text message or an email, or you pick up the phone and actually call somebody. I know that's weird in this day and age. And just say, hey, I was thinking about you today. You came to my mind. And by the way, do people just come to your mind at random? But it's not random, right? You know this? People come to your mind on purpose. You wake up in the middle of the night and you've got me on your mind. You know what I wish you would do for me right then? Pray. I mean, and because it's me and I think I'm a pretty special person, I wish you'd get out of your bed and get on your knees and pray. Now, you don't do that for everybody else, but when it's me on your mind, right? Do y'all hope people will get out of their bed and pray for you too? Do y'all feel like you're that special too? We're all special people, right? But pray for them. God put them on your mind for a reason. And then let them know. That's all right. I mean, it might be a situation where maybe you shouldn't let them know. Sometimes we just pray privately and we never tell a soul. But it might be that God put them on your mind to pray for them and to encourage them, to greet them. To say, hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm praying for you. It's a wonderful thing when you do that and then God confirms it by them responding to you saying, boy, I really needed that. And we don't do it for that kind of response, but it lets you know that you did the right thing. Send greetings. You can be an encouragement to others in the church. You can welcome those who are new to the church. I want to make a joke this morning about where everybody seated this, but I'm not going to. We've got everybody on one side and then new people on this side. The woes of small churches, right? Isn't that how it goes? Welcome people that are new to the church. Let them know who you are. Say, I'm glad you're here. We like you. We want you around. All these things. Outreach to those missing around the church. You don't see somebody for several weeks, don't get mad at me about it. Send them a note and say, we missed you. You can get mad at me too, and you can come tell me you ran them off. Told you to quit telling jokes from the pulpit. That's all right too. But also, greet them. Call them up. You don't have to be on a committee to call somebody, right? Let's try that one again. You do not have to be on a committee. You don't have to be an elected official of the church to call somebody up, right?
Right.
Oh, that was better. You just have to be a human being. That got everybody here this morning? And you can call fellow human beings. You can write notes to fellow human beings. You can whatever. You may say, well, I don't want to do the wrong thing, so I want to ask you about it. But fine. Write a note. I'll read it. I'll be honest and just tell you if I think it's bad. I'll say, no, don't send them this. You'll hurt their feelings worse. Nah, let Miss Betty do that. I'm no good at those kind of things. But greet them. People get to missing around the church. Sometimes they're just kind of missing out in general. They just don't feel like themselves. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe they feel like nobody likes them. Maybe they feel like that nobody wants to see them or be around them. What's the cure to that? Call them up and say, man, we miss you. We want to see you. We want to be around you. It's not the same without you. Greet them. You can also greet and uplift during times of sickness and discouragement. You guys know what people go through these days. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable the number of people, even in a small congregation like ours, who battle cancer. It's unreal to think of. It's overwhelming as you begin to think of it. And then people who are going through family crisis, work crisis, just who knows what people are having to deal with and battle in their minds. And you can uplift them. You say, no, I don't know that I can help them. I don't have the words to say. None of us have the words to say. That's not the point. It's not saying the right thing. It is right to say a thing. Just say something. Just say, hey, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. I'm worried about you. Or whatever it is. But just acknowledging that you care is what they need. So greet them. Paul says, salute every saint. And you know what will happen is we all begin to salute every saint? Every saint will begin to salute you. Isn't that how it works? It's a wonderful thought. And then the last thing, and we kind of close with this, is grace. Verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And how fitting to close this great letter with thoughts of grace. Paul ends as he begins with a prayer of grace. The last verse of chapter 4 is about grace. Look back with me in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, he introduces, this is who's writing and this is who I'm writing to. And then chapter 1, verse 2, what's the first thing he says? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of Christianity from beginning to end is what? Grace. It's all about God's grace. God's unmerited favor to you and to I. We can be reminded of this through a series of questions, and I want to give them to you this morning. You answer them there in your minds. Do we deserve anything from God? In your minds. Now you can answer them out loud if you want. Do we deserve life or health or happiness? Now we feel entitled to those things as American citizens, but think about it. Do we deserve life or health or happiness from God's point of view? Do we deserve the gift of God's Holy Spirit? Do we deserve to be made God's heirs in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we deserve to one day share in all the riches of God's nature? Not at all. We deserve nothing, but God gives us grace. Most of us in here have run from God, especially when it came time for salvation, but many, even after they're saved, run from Him again, from service. Yet when we are far from Him, God comes to us. He came to us dying for our sin, rising for our justification, and now living to enter the life of those who believe in Him and to guide them in holiness. That's how gracious a God we serve. God loves us and will love us forever. This is His grace. Paul closes with grace here, making mention of Jesus. It's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we know God's grace and continue to experience. And I want to close like Paul did here by praying that God's grace be with you all. Amen. So Paul is thankful, and so are we. Thankful for the glory of Almighty God. Thankful for the fellowship we share with others because of Christ. And mostly thankful for grace. And that concludes our study in the book of Philippians. And begins our time of Thanksgiving together. While we've prepared for it all month, next Sunday we'll come in and have a Thanksgiving service. And I'm excited about that. And I'd ask you today, by way of invitation, as Miss Betty comes to play for us, are you thankful? Do you give glory to God? Do you greet the saints? Are you thankful for unmerited grace? It's a great time this morning to just spend some time in prayer, thanking God for His goodness to you. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and have a time of prayer. You can pray there in your pew. If you'd like to come to this altar and pray, you can do that as well. But let's pray this morning. If you don't have a thankful heart, pray first that God will help you to be more thankful. But I assume most of us do here this morning, so let's pray and offer thanks to God. Give glory to Him. Greet the saints and be thankful for unmerited grace.